This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, covering the towns of Webster, Dudley, Oxford, Douglas, Northbridge, Uxbridge, Whitensville, Upton, Milford, Mendon, and Blackstone. This program is sponsored by the Lions Clubs of Oxford and Uxbridge. And thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, we will be bringing you news from the Webster Times, Blackstone Valley Tribune, and the New Uxbridge Times. Today, we will be reading from the July 17th editions. This is Jennifer Antkowiak, along with David Jaffe. Playful Foundations Workshops Coming to Uxbridge Community. Families and caregivers of little learners ages 3 to 6 are invited to join free, engaging Playful Foundations workshops designed to support parents and caregivers in building strong early learning foundations through purposeful play. Through engaging activities and practical strategies, parents will discover simple ways to support literacy, math, fine motor development, and kindergarten readiness at home. These hands-on workshops will be led by Cindy Bly, founder of Little Learners Virtual Academy and a veteran educator with over 30 years of experience. Passionate about empowering parents to nurture little minds, Cindy combines research-based practices with playful, hands-on learning experiences that leave families feeling confident, inspired, and equipped with practical tools they can use long after the workshop ends. The first Playful Foundations will be held on August 3rd at the Uxbridge Free Public Library and is designed specifically for parents and caregivers of children ages 3 to 6. This hands-on workshop will share simple, research-backed strategies to support early literacy, math readiness, fine motor development, and kindergarten readiness skills at home. Parents will leave with practical tools, activity ideas, and resources to help support learning in meaningful and manageable ways. The second event will be held on August 10th at Pout Pond and invites parents and children to learn and play together. Families will participate in engaging hands-on activities designed to build foundational skills while showing parents how purposeful play supports learning in everyday life. These workshops are offered at no cost to participating families. However, registration is required as space is limited. Both programs are funded in part by a grant from the Uxbridge Cultural Council, a local agency which is supported by the Mass Cultural Council, a state agency. The Playful Foundation's parent workshop at the Uxbridge Free Public Library on August 3rd will be held from 6 to 7 p.m., Please register at the library at 508-378-8624. The Playful Foundations Family Workshop at Pout Pond will be Monday, August 10th from 10 to 11 a.m. Please register by emailing Cindy at cindy@littlelearnersacademy.rocks. Active Agers Health Fair coming to Northbridge Senior Center. The Northbridge Senior Center invites older adults to attend the Active Agers Health Fair on Thursday, August 6th from 12:30 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. This informative and engaging event is designed to connect participants with valuable health, wellness, and community resources that support active, healthy living. Attendees will have the opportunity to visit with local health and wellness vendors, learn about programs and services available in the community, and gather information to help maintain their health and independence. The cost to attend is $5 per person, payable in person on the day of the event. Whether you're looking to discover new wellness resources, ask questions of local providers, or simply enjoy an afternoon focused on healthy aging, the Active Agers Health Fair offers something for everyone. We look forward to welcoming community members for an afternoon of education, connection, and healthy aging. Any questions, please call the Northbridge Senior Center at 508-234-2002. Women's Collective welcomes Carr Funeral Home to Northbridge Senior Center. The Women's Collective at the Northbridge Senior Center recently welcomed Heather Carr Ryder and Abby Jackman Tallent of Carr Funeral Home for a fascinating and enjoyable presentation about the family's long history in funeral service and how the profession has changed over the years. This year marks a special milestone for Carr Funeral Home as it celebrates its 175th year of serving families. Heather Carr Ryder is a sixth-generation funeral director, while Abby Jackman Tallent proudly represents the third generation of her family in the profession. Together, they shared stories of growing up in the family business and what it means to continue a tradition that has served the community for generations. Heather and Abby spoke about how funeral service has evolved over the past 20 years, from changes in funeral attire and religious traditions to the use of technology and the growing popularity of personalized memorial services. They offered an inside look at how the profession continues to adapt while keeping families' needs at the center of everything they do. The morning was filled with thoughtful questions, shared memories, and plenty of laughter. The women in attendance were eager to learn more, making for a lively discussion, and everyone appreciated the opportunity to have such an open conversation about a subject that touches every family. For more information about the Women's Collective or the Northbridge Senior Center, please call 508-234-2002. For more information about Carr Funeral Home, please call 508-234-2002. 2330. Event being planned by Mendon Historical Society. A fun, informative program is being planned by the Mendon Historical Society on October 4th at 2 p.m. in the Mendon Senior Center, 62 Providence Street in Mendon. The program is entitled A Proper Fit: Women at Work in the Corset Industry. It will be presented by Anne Marie Murphy, who has authored a book by the same name. Her exhausted research feels rollicking and joyful. We invite you to mark your calendar for an enjoyable afternoon. Books will be available as well as a book signing. So join us on October 4th at 2 p.m. in the Mendon Senior Center, 62 Providence Street in Mendon. Vendor fair planned at Uxbridge Congregational Church. A fall vendor fair is being planned for September 26th in the Community House of the Uxbridge Congregational Church from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. There is no rain date as the event will be held indoors. Response has been very good, but a few spaces still remain. Donation for table rental space is $30 for an 8x8-foot space. Thus far, we have a wide selection of vendors to come and join us before the holiday rush. To reserve a space, please email uxbridgeucc@outlook.com or call 508-244-7849 and an application will be sent to you. Hope you can join us. Outdoor summer concert returns August 21st in downtown Worcester with Jazz Plus Live featuring the Love Dogs. WICN Public Radio 90.5 FM, the Hanover Theater and Conservatory for the Performing Arts, and the Downtown Worcester Business Improvement District invite the community to celebrate summer at the 9th Annual Jazz Plus Live Concert, featuring the acclaimed Jump Blues and Rhythm and Blues band, the Love Dogs. The outdoor concert will take place on Friday, August 21st, behind the Hanover Theater in downtown Worcester. Gates open at 5 p.m., with the concert beginning at 6 p.m. For more than two decades, the Love Dogs, fronted by the charismatic Eddie Shear, have entertained audiences across the United States, Canada, and Europe with their irresistible blend of jump blues, New Orleans R&B, swing, and early rock and roll. their powerhouse horn section, boogie-woogie piano, soulful vocals, and infectious stage presence have made them one of New England's premier live bands and a favorite among music lovers of all ages. Jazz Plus Live has become one of Worcester's signature summer traditions because it brings together outstanding live music, strong community partnerships, and people who simply enjoy spending an evening together, said Melanie LeBouf, executive director of WICN Public More Radio. At WICN, we believe music has the power to connect people. Guests are encouraged to bring lawn chairs along with food and non-alcoholic beverages to enjoy during the performance. Food trucks and cash bars will be available throughout the evening. Outside alcohol is not permitted. General admission tickets are $30 in advance and $35 on the day of the event. Guests should bring their own lawn chairs. VIP front row tables for four are available for $175 per table, offering reserved seating with the best views of the stage. Tickets are available through the Hanover Theater box office and online at thehanovertheater.org. About WICN Public Radio, WICN Public Radio 90.5 FM is an independent, nonprofit public radio station serving central Massachusetts and beyond. Through award-winning jazz, roots, blues, world music, and locally produced programming, WICN connects listeners with the arts, culture, education, and conversations that enrich the region. WICN's mission is to inspire, entertain, and engage diverse audiences while supporting the cultural vitality of the communities it serves. Broadcasting throughout central New England and streaming worldwide, WICN brings exceptional music and local voices to audiences wherever they are. Historical Society event at the Cornet John Farnham House. On Sunday, July 26th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., the Uxbridge Historical Society will hold its Revolutionary Passport event. This family-friendly program will invite visitors to explore several historic sites connected to Uxbridge's Revolutionary-era history. Each site will have a docent available to answer questions and talk more about the history. Participants will return to the Farnham House to receive a small keepsake after the event. The Cornet John Farnham House, built around 1710, is one of Uxbridge's oldest homes and the site of the town's first town meeting in 1727. Now, under the stewardship of the Uxbridge Historical Society, the house serves as a gathering place for programs, exhibits, and community events celebrating Uxbridge's history. The Uxbridge Historical Society is grateful for the community's continued support as it begins this new chapter of caring for the Cornet John Farnham House and sharing Uxbridge's history through exhibits, programs, and community events. Donations help support the preservation of the Farnham House, care of local archives and artifacts, and the Society's ongoing educational programs. Contributions may be made online at uxbridgehistoricalsociety.org or by mailing a check to Uxbridge Historical Society, P.O. Box 93, Uxbridge, Mass. 01569. For more information, contact the Uxbridge Historical Society at uxbridgehistoricalsociety@gmail.com, call 508-930-6021, or visit uxbridgehistoricalsociety.org. Statement on Public Health Investigation at High School. The Uxbridge Teachers Association released the following statement in regard to the public health investigation scheduled to take place at Uxbridge High School. The Uxbridge Teachers Association applauds the efforts made by the Uxbridge Public Schools Administration and building leadership to ensure that students and staff are learning in safe and healthy environments. In response to reports that several teachers at the high school have been diagnosed in recent years with breast cancer, the district reached out to state and local health officials. The district has kept the staff informed throughout the process and has supported the educators through their medical treatments. While early indications suggest that there are no environmental factors at Uxbridge High School putting students and staff at risk for breast cancer, the Uxbridge Teachers Association fully supports the investigation by public health experts and is urging members to assist however possible in this work. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to the Uxbridge Teachers Association.
Hi, this is David Jaffe reading the Webster Times for Friday, July 17th, 2026. First Congregational Church invites community to celebrate 250 years of faith. The First Congregational Church, UCC, in Auburn is inviting the community to celebrate an extraordinary milestone, 250 years of faith, fellowship, and service at its 250th anniversary celebration on Saturday, July 25th. Founded on January 25, 1776, First Congregational Church is the first church established in Auburn with a history that predates the signing of the Declaration of Independence. For 2.5 centuries, the church has been a place of worship, community, and service for generations of Auburn residents. The celebration begins at 3:30 p.m. on the church steps with a ceremonial reading of the Declaration of Independence, honoring both our nation's beginnings and the church's unique place in history. Guests will then be welcomed into the sanctuary for a special anniversary program featuring remarks from distinguished guests, including U.S. Representative Jim McGovern, State Representative Paul Frost, Reverend Bob Batchelder, Southern New England Conference Minister Reverend Dr. Carol Steinbrecher of the United Church of Christ, representatives from Auburn's Scouts BSA, and additional community and church leaders. Following the program, the celebration moves outdoors to the church lawn for an afternoon and evening of family-friendly activities. Guests can enjoy cupcakes, colonial lawn games, food trucks, and fellowship while exploring the church grounds. As the sun sets, everyone is invited to stay for an outdoor movie under the stars. Throughout the event, the church will also be open for visitors to explore historic displays and artifacts that tell the story of the congregation's 250-year journey and its enduring impact on the Auburn community. The event is free and open to the public. Whether you're a current member, former member, neighbor, history enthusiast, or simply looking for a fun community event, all are welcome to join in this once-in-a-generation celebration. First Congregational Church, UCC, is at 128 Central Street, Auburn, and again, the event is Saturday, July 25th. Explore history and legends through song at Gladys E. Kelly Library. On Thursday, August 6th, the musical duo Sultana will bring history and legends through song to the Gladys E. Kelly Public Library at 2 Lake Street in Webster at 6:30 p.m. The program consists of songs, history, and slides about fascinating historical or legendary people and events. The show will include songs about New England history, ancient Mesopotamia, a character from Arthurian legend, a renowned radio broadcast, and more. History and Legends Through Song is part of the series Live Music Making History Live. The other shows in the series are The Roots of American Popular Music, The Railroad and Song, and Popular Music and Veterans. The duo Sultana is John and Lee Waterman, both lifelong musicians and songwriters. John is also a licensed history teacher in Massachusetts. He created Live Music Making History Live in 2018 with the belief that history and entertainment go together. Throughout the ages, songs, stories, and theater have included history, and history is, or should be, entertaining. The program is supported in part by a grant from the Webster Cultural Council, a local agency which is supported by the Mass Cultural Council, a state agency. Admission is free, and the event is open to the public. Oxford artists work on display at Book Lovers Gourmet. Book Lovers Gourmet, located at 72 East Main Street in Webster, is hosting a local art show and sale featuring the paintings of W.J. Yacino of Oxford. Through the Eyes of an Artist will be on view July 1st through 31st in the Cafe Gallery and may be viewed during regular business hours, Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. The public is invited to a meet and greet with the artist on Saturday, July 25th, noon to 2 p.m. For more information, call 508-949-6232 or visit bookloversgourmet.com/events. Wayne Joseph Yacino is a native of Oxford who is of Metis French, Abenaki, Italian, and Polish descent. He began painting at the age of 5 years. As a self-taught artist, and with over 60 years of experience, he has had the opportunity to live in Europe for 2 years during his military tour with NATO. He's displayed several of his pieces in Vicenza, Italy. He's also displayed his woodworking and painting throughout the United States. The artist has done extensive research into Native American imagery and has taught the ancient American skills the first weekend in October at the annual Waters Farm Days event in Sutton, Massachusetts, from 1996 through 2022. The artist's goal is to share with the viewer my emotions and spiritual experiences through my art, to rise above the mundane, and to bring honor and glory to my God. Whatever his subject, he finds great joy and blessing in the way the eyes move through a painting and follows the interaction of all the colors. Vision looks to tomorrow and sees the reality that should exist today. Vision is the ability to dream better things in a better world. Vision brings power to a life that might otherwise be meaningless. Revolutionary Soldier and a Camp. When driving through Auburn, west on Route 20, going over Eddy Pond, one can see a building with a beach. That building is the newly renovated Camp Gleason, which is accessed off Central Street. In the past, Camp Gleason has not only been used for swimming, but for many different organizational meetings, private parties, VFW post events, churches for fireside services, picnics, wedding receptions, and more. The Gleason name does have a history with the town of Auburn, going back to when it was the South Parish of Worcester. Deacon David Gleason was a descendant of the Watertown Gleasons, who originally came from England, according to the David Gleason in North America Family Histories, 1500 to 2000. Thomas first moved to Charlestown in December of 1658, where he leased from Captain Scarlett a portion of the Squaw Sachem lands. In 1639, Saw Squakem deeded her lands and was now Medford to Charlestown. She kept some of the land on the west side of Mystic Pond. When she died, she bequeathed all her land to Governor John Winthrop and Edward Gibbons. Gibbons got possession of the land on the west side of Mystic Pond and was the land he leased to Thomas Gleason. There was a question of ownership after the lease was signed, and it kept Thomas Gleason in litigation until he died. Thomas Gleason II was born in England around 1737. He settled in Sudbury on 40 acres of land bought from Benjamin and Mary Rice that was between Beaver Dam Brook, Gleason's Pond, and Gleason Hill in Framingham. The pond was named after Thomas Gleason Sr. and for four generations of his descendants that lived on its border. It is still known as Gleason's Pond to this day. Thomas III was born in Sherborne in 1671. He moved to Oxford about 1723 and deeded his home in Framingham to his son Thomas, who sold it to Jacob Cummings. Thomas III was one of the founders and signers of the Covenant of the Church in Oxford, and was one of the directors from 1723 to 1726. He gave his son Thomas IV a 40-acre home lot in Oxford Village and various other parcels of land lying in the Greater Cedar Swamp in Oxford. Thomas Gleason IV was born in Framingham, but moved to Oxford sometime after 1715. In 1739, Lieutenant Thomas Gleason was chosen by the town of Oxford as a gamekeeper to prosecute those who illegally killed deer. On December 31st, 1775, he was dismissed from the Oxford Church to be part of a new church in the South Parish of Worcester, of which he was a pew holder. The tax records of 1771 showed Thomas paying £18 for real estate. Personal property was £5, 14 shillings. He lived until an old age and died at the house of his son-in-law, Joshua Merriam, in North Gore in Oxford. Thomas V was born in 1721 in Oxford, where he lived until the land was included in the forming of the South Parish of Worcester in 1773. He married Susanna Putnam of Sutton in 1746. They had five children, the oldest being David. The name of David Gleason appears in the South Parish tax list, 1771. Real estate valued at £27, personal £9. He kept a tavern in the north part of Oxford from 1768 to 1773. Settled in North Gore, and on June 23, 1773, he moved with several other family members to form a town at Ward. In 1774, Elijah Gleason, David's uncle, sold him land in North Part of Oxford, reserving half of the house during the natural life of Thomas Gleeson, their father. Forming of South Parish, 23rd June 1773, David Gleeson of Oxford was listed as one of the families whose families and estate erected into a precinct and shall enjoy all the power and privilege which other precinct in this province by law enjoy, which was sent down for consideration to the House of Represent Thomas Fluker. Throughout the process of creating the South Parish of Worcester, the names of David Gleeson and his father Thomas appear in minutes of meetings and letters of correspondence. Both Thomas and David Gleeson were listed as privates from South Parish taking part in the Revolutionary War. In the Massachusetts soldiers and sailors who fought in the Revolutionary War, David Gleeson was with Winston Maltross, Captain James Swan's 1st Company, Colonel Craft's regiment. After the war, David continued giving service to the town by being a part of the commission, school squadron leader, assessor, constable, and tithing man between 1779 and 1786. In 1815, Jonah Goulding established the First Baptist Church of Ward with 11 men and 17 women as members. Two of those members were David Gleeson and his wife. The church disbanded in 1837, and a new church was formed in North Oxford, which the Gleeson family were members. One could think that all this could warrant a place in Auburn being named after the Gleeson family. But alas, the history of Camp Gleeson only goes back to American Steel and Wire, who created this recreational center in 1940s. It was named after George Gleeson, a superintendent at American Steel and Wire. This article is made possible by the Auburn Historical Society Museum, 41 South Street. The museum is open Tuesday and Saturday mornings, 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., and may be reached at auburnmuseum@verizon.net or 508-832-6856. Letter to the Editor. Thanks to all who supported Dudley Grange's 91st Strawberry Festival. To the Editor. Dudley Grange, number 163, wishes to thank the community for their help in putting on the 91st Dudley Grange Strawberry Festival on June 18th. Community is what Dudley Grange, number 163, is really all about, and community support is what enabled Dudley Grange to put on the Strawberry Festival for at least 91 years, according to Grange records. Over the years, townspeople, local schools, and town departments have come out to help the Grange to put on this large community event. Dudley Grange would like to mention the community participants whose support enabled us to provide the fun and excitement of the Strawberry Festival. We thank Nichols College for allowing the use of the parking area on the hill, the Dudley Board of Selectmen who provided a parking waiver for Center Road during the festival, and our sponsors Hilka Construction, Stokash Insurance, Rob's Automotive, Big Bunny Market, Big Bunny's Duncan Foment Car Wash, and Webster 5-Cent Savings Bank. The Grange thanks the Dudley Police Department for their participation in the festival, showcasing their equipment that is used to keep our community safe, and for their traffic direction on that day. Also, we thank Dudley's Fire Department for their equipment on the site and for providing the smokehouse, where our children learn what to do in a fire, and the town of Dudley's Treasurer's Office and Dudley Park and Shop on Airport Road, who for years have sold strawberry shortcake tickets. We'd like to thank the Dudley Cultural Council for providing grants for the entertainment by the Old Fiddlers of Rhode Island and Randy Orwig as the living statue. The volunteers of the First Congregational Church of Dudley sold their delicious burgers and hot dogs. Records and Burpee Petting Zoo have donated their time and animals for many years, delighting children and adults with their amazing animals. We'd also like to thank the National Honor Society students and their faculty advisors from the Bay Path Regional Vocational Technical High School, Barlow High School, Shepherd Hill Regional High School, and Quinsigamond Community College's chapter of Phi Theta Kappa, all who volunteered their time. Finally, we thank our community volunteers who came out to haul 1,100 pounds of strawberries, set up the grounds, made hand-cut French fries, whipped 150 quarts of heavy cream, sold shortcake tickets, served shortcake, and many other tasks too numerous to mention. Without the help of our community, Dudley Grange would be hard-pressed to successfully pull off a large event such as the Strawberry Festival each year. Thank you. Save the date for the Dudley Grange Apple Festival on Saturday, October 3rd. We will have spaces available for vendors or artisans. And to reserve a space, contact Karen.Gillon, G-I-L-L-O-N, at yahoo.com. Karen Gillon, Dudley Grange, number 163.
And now for Lanterns Along Main Street by Charles. The last place you can still wander. There are fewer and fewer places these days where you can simply wander. Everything seems to have a purpose now. We drive to the store because we need something. We head to work because we have to. Even a walk is often measured by a smartwatch that reminds us how many steps we've taken, how fast we've walked, and whether our heart rate was acceptable. Somehow we've managed to turn wandering into another assignment. But every once in a while, I find myself in an old hardware store. Not one of the giant warehouse places where you need a map to find a box of screws. I mean the kind of hardware store with wooden floors that creak just enough to let everyone know you've arrived. The place where shovels stand in one corner, fishing lures somehow occupy another, and there's always a mysterious shelf full of oddball parts that haven't changed since the Reagan administration. I never get through one of those stores in less than half an hour. It's impossible. You walk in looking for a hose washer, and suddenly you're examining cast iron hooks that would look good in the garage. Then you notice birdseed on sale. Around the corner is a display of flashlights that makes you wonder if yours still works. Before long, you're comparing paintbrushes, even though you haven't painted anything in years. None of it is urgent. None of it was on the list. That's the beauty of it. When I was younger, I thought efficiency was the goal. Get in, get out, cross another errand off the list. Now, I'm beginning to appreciate places that don't rush you. The best hardware stores aren't really selling tools. They're selling possibilities. You start imagining projects you'll probably never tackle. Maybe this is finally the year you'll repair that loose porch step. Perhaps you'll organize the workshop. You stand there holding a packet of vegetable seeds, briefly convinced you're about to become the sort of fellow who grows prize-winning tomatoes. Then your wife gently reminds you that the last basil plant barely survived because you kept forgetting to water it. She's usually right. What I enjoy most, though, are the conversations. Someone asks where to find a particular bolt, and another customer answers before an employee has the chance. Advice travels up and down the aisles as naturally as if everyone were old neighbors. Nobody seems bothered by the interruption. That doesn't happen very often anymore. In most places, people stare at their phones while waiting in line. At the hardware store, they're debating the best way to remove a stripped screw or whether oil-based stain still beats the newer products. Somehow, complete strangers become temporary teammates, united by whatever stubborn home repair brought them there. I suspect that's one reason these stores have survived when so many small businesses haven't. They offer something that can't be delivered to your front porch in 2 days. They offer human nature. Of course, I rarely leave with only what I intended to buy. Somehow, a $5 errand becomes a small bag full of things that might come in handy someday. My garage is living proof that someday hasn't arrived yet. Still, I don't regret it. Those little detours through the aisles remind me that not every minute needs to be optimized. Not every trip needs to be timed. Sometimes it's enough simply to wander. Discover something unexpected. Exchange a few words with a stranger and head home feeling like the afternoon was well spent. That's getting harder to find. So if you happen to disappear for a while on a Saturday morning, don't worry if you haven't traveled very far. You might just be wandering through the last place where nobody expects you to be in a hurry. And honestly, I think we could all use a little more of that. News from Plummer Place, home of the Northbridge Senior Center. The following events will take place at Plummer Place, home of the Northbridge Senior Center. We are located at 20 Highland Street in Whitensville, and our telephone number is 508-234-2002. Northbridge residents have priority for all programming and events. Please call the main office to sign up for special events and programs so we can plan accordingly. On Tuesday, July 28th, from 1:30 to 2:30 p.m., what is Alzheimer's dementia? Come and learn the strategies to help cope with both symptoms and behaviors. We will explore what the term dementia means, look at changes in the brain, review how diagnoses are made, investigate possible symptoms, and share coping strategies. Please sign up in the main office. Presented by Salmon Health and Retirement, Tri-Valley Nutrition Presentation, Healthy Eating on a Budget, will be Wednesday, July 29th from 1 to 2 p.m. Rising gas prices, along with increasing food and household costs, are putting pressure on our everyday budgets. But eating well doesn't have to be out of reach. Join us to discover practical, money-smart shopping strategies that support both your health and your wallet. Light refreshments will be served. Sign up in the main office. You can sign up by calling 508-234-2002 or stopping in to visit us at Plummer Place, 20 Highland Street in Whitensville. History comes alive at Asa Waters Mansion. In celebration of Asa Waters Mansion 200th anniversary and in conjunction with the 250th anniversary of the United States, the mansion is proud to announce History Comes Alive at the Asa Waters Mansion. History Comes Alive is a three-day Civil War living history experience taking place on the historic grounds located at 123 Elm Street in Millbury from Friday, August 7th until Sunday, August 9th. Presented in collaboration with the 15th Massachusetts Volunteer Infantry Reenactment Regiment and the Liberty Grays, this immersive weekend event will transport visitors back in time through engaging historical interpretation, live demonstrations, educational programming, and authentic encampments designed for all ages. Throughout the weekend, guests will experience narrated battle demonstrations, military drill and weapons demonstrations, civilian and domestic life programming, educational lectures, candlelight mansion tours, live period music, sutlers, Sunday church call, and additional interactive experiences that showcase the Civil War era America from multiple perspectives. The event is intended to create an engaging and educational environment where history can be explored in a meaningful, approachable, and community-centered way. Organizers hope visitors will gain a deeper appreciation for the region's Civil War heritage while experiencing the sights, sounds, and stories of the era firsthand. This event is about bringing history to life in a way that is immersive, thoughtful, and accessible for everyone, said Asa Waters Mansion Executive Director Tracy Parath. Whether you are a history enthusiast, a family looking for a unique weekend experience, or someone interested in learning more about the stories behind the Civil War, there will be something meaningful for everyone. Many events throughout the weekend are expected to be free and open to the public, with additional admission and scheduling details to be announced as planning is finalized. Asa Waters Mansion remains one of the Blackstone Valley's treasured historic landmarks, and History Comes Alive aims to connect the community with the rich and complex history that helped shape both our region, Massachusetts, and the nation. For more information, please contact Asa Waters Mansion Executive Director Tracy Parath at 508-865-0855 or email Tracy at tparath, P-A-R-A-T-H, at millbury-ma.gov. Bill to improve interactions with police and autistic individuals. State Representative Soter, Republican from Bellingham, is supporting legislation to improve police interactions with individuals who fall on the autism spectrum in an attempt to avoid misunderstandings and reduce stress and anxiety for the driver during the motor vehicle stop. House Bill 5438, an act facilitating better interactions between police officers and persons with autism spectrum disorder, was engrossed by the House of Representatives on a vote of 156-0 on May 20th. The bill is an amended version of legislation that was previously approved by the Senate on a 39-0 vote on July 24th, 2025, as Senate Bill 2565. More commonly referred to as the Blue Envelope Bill, House Bill 5438 directs the Department of State Police, the Massachusetts Chiefs of Police Association, and Advocates for Autism of Massachusetts to design blue envelopes that will provide written information and guidance on ways to enhance communication between police officers and persons with autism. Representative Soter said this information will be printed on the outside of the envelope while the person's driver's license, motor vehicle registration, and insurance card can be inserted in the envelope. According to Representative Soter, Senate Bill 2565 requires the Registrar of Motor Vehicles to make the blue envelopes available to any person with autism or their guardian upon request beginning July 1st. House Bill 5438 moves the effective date to September 1st. The House bill and Senate will now work to reconcile the differences between House Bill 5438 and Senate Bill 2565. Destruction of student records. Attention, Blackstone Valley Regional Vocational Technical High School class of 2019. In accordance with state and federal regulations, temporary student records, including special education files, IEP, 504 plans, and student health records, will be destroyed 7 years after a student leaves the school. For the class of 2019, records are scheduled for destruction on August 6, 2026. Members of the class of 2019 may request their temporary student records, any information not contained in their transcript, before the August 6th shred date by submitting a written request. If you want to obtain your record, please send a written request indicating the year of graduation and your name while attending school to Blackstone Valley Regional Vocational Technical High School Student Services Record Department, 65 Pleasant Street, Upton, Mass., 01568. Student transcripts, record of grades, will be retained for 60 years after a student leaves the school. For the class of 2019, transcripts are scheduled for destruction on August 6, 2079. Alumni may request transcripts at any time between 2019 graduation and August 6, 2079. If you wish to retain your records, learn how at www.valleytech.k12.ma.us/student-records. Programs at Blackstone River and Canal Heritage State Park. On Saturday, July 25th from 1 to 2 p.m., explore the Civilian Conservation Corps CCC camp at Upton State Forest and uncover the stories and work behind this New Deal era program. Discover how the CCC shaped the forest and explore ways to help keep places like this healthy and protected. Meet at the CCC camp parking area. This walk is less than a mile over a paved surface with no inclines. It's appropriate for ages 12 and up. Water is not available at this site. Pigeon rides at Fenway. As part of Pan Mass Challenge Night at Fenway, Brian Pigeon of Uxbridge was celebrated in the PMC Living Proof Bike Parade, where 60 members of the PMC Living Proof community, riders and volunteers who are currently undergoing or have undergone treatment for cancer, cycled around Fenway's warning track as they were cheered on. The evening also commemorated the Red Sox Foundation's longstanding commitment as a co-presenting sponsor of the PanMass Challenge, PMC, and recognized the unparalleled impact the PMC has made in raising over $1.125 billion for critical cancer research and care at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. This August 1st through 2nd, more than 6,000 riders, including Brian, and 4,000 volunteers will come together at the PMC to support life-saving cancer research and treatment. The PMC donates 100% of every rider-raised dollar to Dana-Farber, its largest single contributor.
Letter to the editor. Dudley thanks community partners for a memorable ceremony marking 250th anniversary of Declaration of Independence. To the editor, the town of Dudley extends its sincere appreciation to the many organizations, volunteers, and community members who came together July 5th to commemorate the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence with a meaningful and patriotic community ceremony. The event honored the enduring principles of liberty and self-governance while showcasing the spirit of collaboration that continues to define the Dudley community. Special thanks to the Dudley Historical Commission for organizing the event. The town extends particular appreciation to Dudley Historical Commission Chairman Frederick Butch Meyer, whose public reading of the Declaration of Independence brought the words of the American founding document to life for those in attendance. The town also recognizes the Technical Committee of the First Congregational Church for providing professional sound and live streaming of the event, allowing those unable to attend in person to view the celebration. The Veterans Honor Guard is thanked for lending dignity and tradition to the occasion through its ceremonial rifle salutes and the stirring performance of To the Colors, honoring our nation's flag and those who have served to defend it. Appreciation is also extended to the Dudley Grange for generously providing refreshments following the ceremony, giving attendees an opportunity to gather and reflect on the significance of the day. The town thanks the Black Tavern for opening its doors and offering tours to visitors interested in learning more about Dudley's rich colonial history and its connection to the nation's founding era. In keeping with the tradition observed across the country, the bells of St. Andrew Bobola Church, St. Andrew of Padua Church, the First Congregational Church, and Nichols College rang out in celebration, helping commemorate the anniversary with a symbolic reminder of the call to liberty that has echoed through generations. The town of Dudley also thanks everyone who attended and all who contributed their time, talents, and resources to make this historic anniversary a fitting tribute to the ideals expressed in the Declaration of Independence 250 years ago. Local churches team up for Compassion VBS. Join the First Congregational Church of Oxford and Oxford United Methodist Church this summer for Compassion Vacation Bible School. Children ages 5 to 12 are invited August 3rd to the 7th from 8:30 a.m. to noon each day for a fun-filled week of music, games, crafts, stories, and activities designed to encourage kindness, compassion, and faith. Space is limited to 20 children, so register early by calling 508-987-2211 or emailing firstchurchoxford@gmail.com. Cornerstone Bank names Leah Cox Senior VP Chief Credit Officer. Cornerstone Bank has appointed Leah Cox as Senior Vice President and Chief Credit Officer, adding a seasoned banking executive to its leadership team as the bank continues to support commercial growth and maintain strong risk management practices across its market. In her new role, Cox will oversee the bank's commercial credit function, including portfolio risk monitoring, credit policy, regulatory compliance, and development of credit staff. She will also play a key role in helping ensure the bank's lending decisions align with its long-term strategic goals. Strong credit leadership is essential to supporting our customers while maintaining the safety and soundness of the bank, said Daniel Zona, president of Cornerstone Bank. Leah offers extensive experience and expertise, sound judgment, and collaborative knowledge and style leadership that will help us continue serving our business, customers, and communities for years to come. Cox brings 24 years of experience in commercial credit, risk management, and loan administration, She is a graduate of the Graduate School of Banking at LSU, Louisiana State University, and holds professional certifications from the Risk Management Association and the American Bankers Association. Leah earned a Bachelor of Arts degree in Economics and Sociology from Boston College. She resides in Swansea, New Hampshire, and volunteers with her local Humane Society. First launches Pay a Person. Send money to friends and family instantly, no extra apps required. Webster First has announced an exciting update to its online banking platform with the launch of a new Pay a Person feature. Arriving this July, this convenient tool will let members send money instantly to friends and family straight from their account. No extra third-party payment apps to download or sign up for. With just a few taps, members can transfer funds in seconds, making it faster and easier than ever to pay back a friend, share expenses, or help out a loved one. Designed for speed and simplicity, Pay a Person puts effortless, secure payment rights at members' fingertips. The Pay a Person tool is created to make everyday financial movements and moments simpler. To send money, members only need the recipient's name and phone number or email address. There's no need to ask for account or routing numbers. Once a transfer is started, the recipient gets a quick notification and can accept the funds in just a few steps, even if they don't bank with Webster First. The feature is built for the moments that come up in daily life. Members can split a dinner bill with friends, chip in for a group gift, pay a babysitter or dog walker, settle up on shared rent or utilities, or send emergency funds to a family member in a pinch. Pay a Person makes it easy to move money quickly and securely whenever the need arises. Webster First designed the Pay a Person feature with flexibility and affordability in mind, giving members several ways to send money based on how quickly it needs to be and arrive. Sending money to another Webster First member is always free and lands in their account instantly, making it perfect for quick, everyday exchanges. When the money is headed to someone at a different bank, members can choose a free next-day delivery option that's ideal for payments that aren't time-sensitive. And for those moments when speed matters most, recipients at outside financial institutions can accept the funds instantly for a simple, low, flat fee of just $2.50. No matter which option members choose, the recipient receives a text or email with clear, step-by-step instructions on how to accept the funds. To make sending money as simple as possible, Webster First has built Pay a Person directly into the online banking platform. Members can access the feature right from their account dashboard with clear prompts and an intuitive layout that guides them throughout each transfer in just a few taps. Outdoor Summer Concert returns August 21st in downtown Worcester with Jazz Plus Live featuring the Love Dogs. WICN Public Radio 90.5 FM, the Hanover Theater and Conservatory for the Performing Arts, and the Downtown Worcester Business Improvement District invite the community to celebrate summer at the 9th Annual Jazz Plus Live Concert. Featuring the acclaimed jump blues and rhythm and blues band, the Love Dogs, the outdoor concert will take place on Friday, August 21st, behind the Hanover Theater in downtown Worcester. Gates open at 5 p.m., with the concert beginning at 6 p.m. For more than two decades, the Love Dogs, fronted by the charismatic Eddie Shear, have entertained audiences across the United States, Canada, and Europe with their irresistible blend of jump blues, New Orleans R&B, swing, and early rock and roll. Their powerhouse horn section, boogie-woogie piano, soulful vocals, and infectious stage presence have made them one of New England's premier live bands and a favorite among music lovers of all ages. Jazz Plus Live has become one of Worcester's signature summer traditions because it brings together outstanding live music, strong community partnerships, and people who simply enjoy spending an evening together, said Melanie LeBeouf, Executive Director of WICN Public More Radio. At WICN, we believe music has the power to connect people. Guests are encouraged to bring lawn chairs, along with food and non-alcoholic beverages, to enjoy during the performance. Food trucks and cash bars will be available throughout the evening. Outside alcohol is not permitted. General admission tickets are $30 in advance and $35 on the day of the event. Guests should bring their own lawn chairs, VIP front row tables for four are available for $175 per table, offering reserved seating with the best views of the stage. Tickets are available through the Hanover Theater box office and online at thehanovertheater.org. Editorial. A quarter millennium of community. There are few institutions in any town that can honestly say they have witnessed nearly every chapter of its history. Even fewer can claim to have helped write many of those chapters. As First Congregational Church, UCC, in Auburn prepares to celebrate its 250th anniversary, the occasion offers far more than a birthday party. It is an opportunity to reflect on the enduring role that community institutions play in shaping the place we call home. Founded on January 25, 1776, the church predates the signing of the Declaration of Independence by several months. That simple fact is remarkable. Before the United States officially existed as a nation, this congregation had already taken root in what would become Auburn. Through wars, economic upheavals, technological revolutions, pandemics, and generations of change, it has remained a constant presence. Buildings alone do not last 250 years. Organizations survive that long because people continually choose to invest their time, talents, and faith in something larger than themselves. For generations, churches have served as more than places of worship. They've been gathering places where neighbors celebrated marriages, mourned loved ones, organized charitable efforts, welcomed newcomers, and supported one another through life's greatest joys and deepest hardships. Whether someone attends every Sunday or simply drives past the familiar steeple each day, these institutions become woven into the identity of a community. The anniversary celebration itself reflects that broader mission. A public reading of the Declaration of Independence reminds attendees that the church's history is intertwined with the nation's earliest days. Historic displays and artifacts invite residents to reconnect with Auburn's past. Food trucks, lawn games, cupcakes, and outdoor movie transform the occasion into a community festival where everyone is welcome regardless of religious affiliation. That openness is worth celebrating. In an era when many people feel increasingly disconnected from one another, opportunities to gather face-to-face have become more valuable than ever. Communities thrive when people know their neighbors, share traditions, and create new memories together. Milestone anniversaries like this one remind us that history is not something preserved only in museums or textbooks. It lives through the institutions that continue to serve their communities decade after decade. It is also important to recognize the countless volunteers whose quiet efforts make organizations like First Congregational Church possible. Every historic building requires maintenance. Every community event requires planning. Every outreach program depends upon people willing to give their time without seeking recognition. While anniversaries often focus on the past, they're equally a celebration of those carrying the mission forward today. Not every organization reaches 25 years. Very few reach 100. Reaching 250 years represents an extraordinary achievement that deserves recognition throughout Auburn. Whether residents attend the celebration because of family ties, an interest in local history, or simply the chance to spend an enjoyable summer afternoon with neighbors, they will be participating in something much larger than a single event. They will become part of a story that began before the birth of the nation and continues today. Communities are strengthened not only by new ideas and new investment, but also by preserving institutions that have provided stability across generations. As Auburn celebrates this remarkable milestone, it is also celebrating the values that have sustained the town itself: faith, fellowship, service, and a commitment to future generations. 250 years is an extraordinary legacy. More importantly, it is a reminder that the strongest communities are built one generation at a time, with each leaving something meaningful for those who follow. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm David Jaffe, along with Jennifer Ann Kowiak. Thank you for listening.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. What's going on in your town is important to you. Meetings that decide your taxes, changes in laws in your community, plans for new housing and businesses, and news about schools are all vital for you to know. Here on Audio Journal, we read many local community newspapers each week. In addition to the news of your community and area, you'll also hear about special events, stories about your neighbors, their businesses, their activities, and more. Stay in touch with your community on Audio Journal, broadcasting to print-impaired residents of Central Massachusetts.